There's nothing hotter right now than Donald Glover. Childish Gambino. I heard the song today, and I said, you know what? Next time we do a podcast, we, meaning me tonight, we have to do some Redbone for the intro music. It's been added to the collection of songs like Muse and Kanye tracks and Kid Cudi, ODB. It's now on the wall of music that we use for intros. No Demetrius tonight, although we had tentatively planned to get together. Tonight, Monday night, it's Monday, May 14th. We had tentatively planned to get together 6:30 tonight to do a podcast. Myself, Demetrius, Demarius, and Philip. But Philip's sick, Demarius is working, and I texted D today at 10 of 11, and I didn't hear back. So there's a chance if this goes for 50 minutes, I get a text saying, hey, I'm here. I do plan for all of us to get together on Saturday morning and get back into the routine of doing that. We all had things going on, graduations, different walks the last 2 weekends. So I do hope to crank those show type things out for you Saturday mornings, and you'll have them by lunchtime or so. Welcome to this, the Unnamed Podcast. The easiest way to call it something is just search Eric Chase in the iTunes podcast app or on Podbean. And if you want to listen to old stuff from our time here at Q105, you can still go on audioboom.com and search The Morning After. It'll still be there. Four things to tip you on. We'll get into some personal stuff with me. Nothing deep. Just, you know, the show type stuff. And then some thoughts that you might call me free-thinking Kanye, but I hope you don't. But they are some wild thoughts like that might upset some people. So we'll save that for the end. If you didn't know, I have a website out that a friend of mine, her name is Rebecca Ralston. She helped me put together. She's long supported my cause and she is a friend. We're both deeply introverted people. It's why we get along. We get together at the Registry Bar or over coffee at Maddie and Bella, and we talk about our introverted nature. But Rebecca has been kind enough to help me put together a website. She did it all on her own. I knew that I wanted to have a website to promote my ability to come out and do speaking engagements like I had done last summer at the Toledo Zoo and credit adjustments in partnership with ProMedica, like the TED Talk, like at Owens Corning, where my therapist asked me to come speak about mental health. And I deeply enjoy it, like I've done for the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition to schools and different businesses. So I wanted to have a website instead of telling people, hey, I'd love to come talk about this, or saying, yeah, this is what I talk. Just, it's a one-stop shop. There are few, if any, links on this website where you could consider having me come speak to your group, your business, yourself, your employees, get in contact with me, and then we'll discuss things. But my therapist had said, here's a guy's site who I had come across. He'd come across. It was a guy whose, I think, brother and dad killed themselves. He began a speaking business, and it's somewhere on the Tobacco Road area of the country, the Carolinas. And I think he did a lot of university speaking, and I spoke to him, and I said, I want to model what I'm doing after you, and make some pretty good money doing. And he must have a hell of an impact on people, and I hope to have that. But I showed that site to Rebecca, and she's like, yeah, I can do this. And she blew away my expectations because it's superhero themed. So what is the site? EricChaseSpeaks.com. And we were talking actually tonight how to promote it. And I was thinking about Google AdSense. And you might have already seen it show up in your Facebook feed because I spent a bunch of money to push it into your feed. She's like, why don't you make a commercial for it on your podcast? A lot of people go there. I'm like, holy shit, yeah. Of course. So there's the commercial for it. EricChaseSpeaks.com. A couple of other commercials before we get started and get to the personal stuff and then the stuff that will either make you think and agree or vehemently disagree with me. Entre Amigos. There will be dishes from a variety of Latin American countries Friday night at Sofia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center. SQACC. SQACC. Sofia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center. I believe a hidden gem here in Toledo on Broadway across the street from, I forget the name of the restaurant, but it is a wonderful Mexican restaurant that everybody tells me I have to go to. It is up the road from the back end of the zoo. It's down the street from San Marcos. Hopefully you can make it out. Friday night, it's $30, and the 5 o'clock seating is filling up, but the 7 o'clock seating is still open. So delicious Latin American food, cash bar, so they'll be drinking, of course, and some arts to check out as well. And it all supports Sofia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center, which was the last place we did Toledo Soup. Toledo Soup, $5 gets you soup, bread, salad, and a vote. That vote goes towards one of the four ideas that have been selected to present at Toledo Soup. We do it fall and spring. It's obviously spring. We're lined up to do it 4 to 6 on the roof of the downtown branch of the Lucas County Public Library. Okay, that's on Michigan. So we're doing that 4 to 6 on Sunday. Toledo Soup, you've seen me talk about it before. You've heard me talk about it. It's the best $5 you will spend in Toledo. So that's it for the commercials. I had that discussion with Rebecca tonight. There were some other things floating around in my head. I was working on an email version of that commercial where I want you to ask people or suggest people come find me to talk to them. So all these thoughts together, I'm in the shower where I do my best thinking, usually my best work too. And I'm like, you know what? Shit. No word from D. I could do a podcast tomorrow, but why wait? I have nothing going on tonight besides making dinner, taking the dogs for another 2,000 step walk. 2,000 for me. Do the math for them. I don't know. And I slept all day. My Mother's Day, a friend of mine, Christy Fuller on Facebook said, you know what? I'm thinking of you. I hope you spent today with people or something that you love. And I was like, I did. My bad. I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. I have no idea why. I wasn't hungover or sick. I was just like, this is a good idea. So I missed Westworld and all the aftermath, the educational aftermath that ensues. So that was my night. So I'm like, you know what? Screw this. Let me go over, pop in the studio, pop out a podcast. The other night, Lindsay has long pointed out that I talk in my sleep. And I said, I give you the full green light to record this stuff, because just like people watch Novocaine and anesthesia videos, people would probably love, forget about all the good work I do for mental health, you know, posting dog stuff, people would probably go crazy if you made a compilation of videos of me talking in my sleep. And I feel, so I don't snore, I don't think, I don't have a snoring issue, but she points out that I talk in my sleep. And I gave her the green light to take a video of this. I'm not allowed to do video of her snoring when she does snore, which is usually after drinking. So it's rarely ever she snores. Anyway, the other night, she brought this up to me today, that she said my talking was as wild as it's ever been. And we were drinking and eating before bed, and I was probably pretty buzzed, whatever. So, but when I drink and eat before bed, I have vivid dreams, really vivid dreams. And I remember specifically the point she mentioned to me today, the other night, and I was going to bring it up to her, but I didn't. We were both in kind of crummy moods on Sunday, so she brought it up today. I remember what happened. You rarely ever remember dreams, right? I was laying down on a table, and something was approaching me. And there's not a lot of detail here. I was just in a I was on a table. Maybe it's because we watched Deadpool the night earlier. And you remember the scene where he's held down and Francis is trying to activate any mutant gene that Wade Wilson has? Maybe that was the imagery that was implanted in my dream two nights later. I'm on a table. Something or someone is approaching me and I can't get up and I can't get up. And they got so close where I said, help, help me. And then in that moment, I felt Lindsay put her hand on me to kind of shake me. And then she said to me today that there was a point in time where she was like rubbing my back and kind of consoling me. Now, I don't remember that. I just remember her putting her hand on me. So implore her to take video of me talking in my sleep, because apparently I do it a lot. She said it's like I'm having a phone conversation and she can hear what I'm saying, but not what the person on the phone is saying. That's good stuff. And quite frankly, I guess I would rather want to have a talking in my sleep problem than a snoring problem. Next thing. Not relationship related. And we'll get to these somewhat profound things at the end of the podcast. Not going to give take up too much of your time. When I do these things alone, I got to keep this thing under like a half an hour. Like more, the sweet spot is probably 20 minutes, right? That's a good commute, either to or from work. I was thinking of an old friend today who I choose not to mention on this podcast, but I do care for her deeply. And you might know who I'm talking about. I would always get on her when I would see this person's phone, and maybe it could be your phone, if you have 72 red notifications on your text messages, if you have 3,772 of those on your email, if you have 58 on the phone icon, it makes me shake. Like, we all don't update our settings or our apps from time to time or often because maybe we don't have the storage space on our phone. Or we're not on Wi-Fi to update them. But all the other stuff is people trying to get in touch with you. And granted, it's probably a lot of junk mail in the mail icon, especially if you use one of those emails for just to submit to mailing lists and stuff like that, or to pop in. What am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Just a complimentary email to put it down so something will be accepted. So I get that. But phone calls, missed calls, voicemails, missed text messages, and so on and so forth. Makes me shake. It ramps up all my anxiety. Today, I finally went into my mailbox because my dad has been hassling me. Every time I call my dad, which is every day, he said, have you deposited the checks that I've sent to you for your birthday and for other stuff? No. Do you know where they are? Yes, they're safely in my mailbox, and they're much safer there than they would be on my countertop, where I could mistakenly throw them away. And my dad says, I'm kind of tired of hearing that. If you want, I just won't send you these. Okay, I get it. I get the message. Usually I get my mail when I come in from errands where I have my gym bag with me, where I have a set of keys that has my, like, three keys on it, and a Y membership and a CVS tag and a Kroger tag. So I get it when I come back from going to the gym. Today, this morning, I made the point to take my keys with me on the first walk of the day for the dogs, which was 7:30 in the morning or so. And it was a downpour. I had just gotten out of the shower, and this serves me right for sleeping so much yesterday. I go outside, and the heavens opened up. I changed my shirt when I got back inside, and I pulled the dogs over and said, boys, you got to get toweled off. You're both drenched. But to the notifications on your phone that ramp up my anxiety, I am kind of that person when it comes to mail. All my bills, whether it's Buckeye, First Energy and Columbia, my AT&T phone bill, all come via email. I have sterling credit. I pay bills on time. My rent, everything gets paid on time. I never miss anything because it comes to my email. So, I have no reason to check my mail other than my dad sending me things. And I saw that there's a wedding invitation in there today. There's an invitation for a baby shower, I think, as well. So I miss on these things. There's very few important pieces of mail. And because I live in an apartment, they can sit there in the mailbox as opposed to living in a house or where they put mail in the mail slot. Or in between the doors. Like when I was growing up back home in Philadelphia, there was a storm door and a regular door, and the mail person would put it in between the two doors. And you know what? Even if I had a mailbox that hung outside, I probably would never check it. Quick tangent. A friend of mine, DJ Tommy Nappy, you might have heard him be on the air with us before. I told you he's my bookie. He just moved into a new house, a new neighborhood, and they bought like a $500 mailbox. And I told him, I said, you know, your neighbors are going to hate you, right? I said, look around. What do the other mailboxes have? He's like, we did real well with buying furniture, so we went on a splurge a little bit. I'm like, you can't do that. You can splurge on the inside because nobody sees it. But you're mailbox shaming the other people. He laughed and he knew I was right. But even if I had a mailbox like that where I had to open it up, I would probably still leave mail in there. I like to play. I know very little of physics and philosophy, though they're two things that deeply fascinate me. And if I had time, I do have time, I'd love to explore them deeply. Quantum mechanics and all that stuff, quantum physics, all kinds of philosophy from back to Aristotle to contemporary philosophy. I'd love to get into it. Schrodinger's cat. And it's funny. Did you ever see the movie Coherence? Lindsay and I just watched it the other night. It's very mind-bending. And it kind of, they reference Schrodinger's cat, where there's a cat in a box with toxic poison. And forgive my ignorance of physics and explaining this if you know about this, but the best way I can put Schrodinger's cat is, while a cat is in the box with the toxic poison, until you open it, the cat is in two realities, in two universes. The cat is both alive and dead. And when you open it, you see which reality is in yours. The dead one. And then I believe part of it is, whichever one is your reality, there's a split. And the other reality that you don't experience also exists, but not in your reality. I believe in multiple realities and multiple universes. I know this is very confusing, and I'm sorry if I clumsily explain that in my rudimentary and crude physics knowledge. I say I have Schrodinger's mailbox, or in this case, it's Aldi's mailbox, or Schrodinger's Aldi circular. The bills and Aldi circulars are both in and not in my mailbox. Until I open it is when I get the answer. I could use some feedback on this. Lindsay and I have not had a fight yet. And this is something that I want to bring up with Dee and Philip and everybody. How do fights happen in relationships? I would guess when you're married, most of it comes over use or misuse of finances. But when you're in a relationship and finances aren't linked, and Lindsay is over my house sleeping over quite a bit. So I guess when you're in each other's space, that's how fights and arguments can arise. We all have our faults. And maybe it's because Lindsay and I are just so ambivalent that we don't get on each other's nerves in that regard. But I ask you, and please give me some feedback, what is the source of fights in your relationship? And you know me, I'm a curmudgeon, a cynic when it comes to relationships. And I just had a discussion today with a friend of mine. Are humans actually monogamous? Can people actually stay in relationships? And that's a much broader philosophical question. But we always see online when people have fights. You can smell when someone is having a disagreement with their significant other. It's hard to tell. It's harder to tell when you're getting along. You just see that things are going well. So I'm curious what the source of fights and arguments and disagreements is with you. And again, maybe you and your relationship are like myself in mine where, or me in my relationship where it's not that big of a deal. Why fight over this? And thankfully, maybe all these years of hopping in and out of dating and meeting people has created this in me so that I only need to get upset, get deeply concerned, get to the point of a serious fight or a serious disagreement when the stuff warrants it, not over the little things. So I'm curious as to your feedback on that. Where do I want to go with this first? I don't know what spurred this thought within me today. Maybe I saw a tweet or a Facebook post. I don't know. That's where we'll go with the second profound thing I want to get to, and you're officially and hopefully, or I actually thought about calling this Partly Profound, the name of the podcast, that is. But for now, it will just be my name. Just search Eric Chase. But Partly Profound, I saw a tweet or something today, and I thought I could write up a blog post or something like that. But I've been porous with blogging lately, and that's fine because the audio stuff seems to get the most traction. So go where your people are, right? I made a Facebook post earlier today, and that's me clicking through it or clicking to it. And I discarded it. I saved it. I erased it. I shortened it a couple of different times because I have a tend to be verbose, too wordy, both, I guess, here, but also when I'm writing up some type of text post, whether it be a blog post or a Facebook post. And I don't want to bury you in text. I don't want to bury you in big words, in words of academia or anything like that. I want to get my point across. So here's how it came out. In lieu of a fleshed out longer post, let me just lately pause it that only 14% of Toledo voted in the primaries, but I am guilty of political nihilism. This is why I buy Transformers, play with my dogs, and buy chicken at $1.79 a pound. It provides me happiness, rather than slamming my energy into an immovable, inert glacier of politics. But thank you to those that do so. And again, I forget where this came from today, but last week I saw that only 14% of people who could vote in Toledo did vote in the primaries. Obviously not the mayoral election that I believe had a much higher turnout last November. These were primaries. And to be honest, I didn't know much about them, and I didn't vote in them. I rarely do vote. And I tie this back to, I guess this is one of those points where two differing or two similar thoughts, two close in the realm thoughts of mine came together. I am a political nihilist. Like, I don't think my vote matters. And a lot of people got on me for this in 2016 when I was vehemently against one person winning the election. And to my awe and downright horror, that person, when I woke up at 4:45 that morning, November 7th or whatever it was, and I was like, what just happened? I was part of that problem, especially here in Ohio, where so few votes actually, or so few votes did maybe turn the election. But I've never participated much in the political process. I've probably only voted overall a half a dozen times. And it really is more important at a local level, where you can have more of a direct impact, and especially in a town like ours, where you can have direct connections to politicians, as opposed to in a bigger city like Detroit, where it's very rare, where you might run into, if you live in the city of Detroit, run into your mayor, or even the suburbs and things like that. But I've never thought much of it, because I've always felt shit just doesn't get done. And if it does, it takes a long time. So I've always been a nihilist in the sense that none of it really matters. Me voting doesn't really matter. And I will acknowledge that while politics and policies don't often, if ever, change, public opinion does. One example that jumps out to me, it seems like public opinion, is what pushed same-sex marriage through within the last 5 years. But how long did that take? That's obviously something that I'm a major advocate of. And I am more of an advocate of social policies and social issues than other stuff. Up taxes, down taxes. I guess I used to believe that we're all, in a way, people would say, I'm socially liberal, but politically conservative. It seems like maybe we're all kind of that way. We all want to watch out. Socially liberal, fiscally conservative. We all want to watch out for our money, but many of us would like social policies to grow and be expanded to others. Again, if that's wrong or you completely disagree with it, that's fine. But I guess seeing that low turnout and marrying that back to all the protests and the voices that you see online, and I'm not the first person to say that or think this at all. And it goes back to, go back to the Parkland stuff, where if every single one of those kids who, whatever, went to Washington, protested, turn into active, engaging 18-year-old plus voters at the point, that's incredible, and they should. And I get it. It's not hard to vote. It's pretty easy to register. And when I voted in the election in 2016, and I did vote in that 2016 election, it was simple. I went to some church where I was clearly a minority, but I was in and out of there and not hassled by people at the front in 5 minutes. I don't think it is hard to vote. That's my personal experience. Maybe it is more difficult for others. And I realized that we can't do electronic voting. I mean, like, texting or digital voting, to put it a better way, because I'm sure that system is easy prey for hacking. And it's really easy to tweet. And I know a lot of movements get started with people who aren't of age to vote, but I'm pretty certain that there are more people being advocates and protesting. In fact, there's a word for it. It's called slacktivism, where you sit behind your keyboard or your whatever it may be, behind your mobile device, and that is how you are an activist. Maybe some people take it a step further and actively protest peacefully, hopefully, But if we had an equal number of activists and protesters and people who do that digitally through social media, if that number correlated to actual voters, more stuff would probably get done. But for whatever reason, and this is the podcast that's out of my league, those numbers don't correlate for a many variety of reasons. So I guess the lack of turnout in last week's primary is what I married over to. See, I really don't care. And for me to be happy, while I don't think major issues will ever, ever find any kind of compromise, and if you look into Washington, especially in John McCain's recent words, where he views himself as one of the last champions of compromise, and we all think that, you know, it's the worst of times. Actually not. Like, times were worse. But I do feel like we're in a time when it comes to politics where it's more about being right and catering to the party rather than doing what is right for all and finding that compromise. Look into some of the John McCain stories that have been written over the weekend, I guess as a preview for his book that's coming out in the next few days. And I guess it reinforced my, it doesn't really matter. And as much as I have a platform to change people's minds, I prefer to stick to where my passions are on behalf of dogs and mental health. And I try to help people not fight the political process because it just seems like you're slamming your head into that glacier I talked about. But I do deeply commend and thank my friends who choose to get involved in this. The one that comes to mind, and he is a friend, is our newest, or one of our newest city councilmen, Nick Comives, who is an advocate for equality, was the former director of Equality Toledo, and now he has slid over and ratcheted up his activism from a private organization to doing it on behalf of all of us as a city councilman. So I don't begrudge those people, and if he wants to wag a finger in my face and say, you have a platform, you need to speak out in this, I will try to do it. If somebody wants me to join some kind of mental health rally, I'll do it. But in the meantime, I will advocate my way. And while it's fun, we all get sucked into political discussions and debates and furor online, I choose not to make it my lifestyle to be a political activist in that way, because it seems like too much energy for very little to actually get done. There's very little payoff. So to my point, I will buy my Transformers, play with my dogs, and buy $1.79 chicken a pound, skinless, boneless, at Fresh Time. And focus on the little things to keep myself happy so that when I am called upon to advocate for the things that are deep to me, I can be mentally prepared to do so to the best of my abilities. We're running longer than I expected. I went to go see Avengers over the weekend. Again, you might have seen my Facebook post. Went to go see Avengers again. This time, the other half of the universe died. No sequel. Finger snaps forever. I think you've heard me say that I agree with Thanos, the main villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, and who the Avengers are battling, at least for the next, 11 months until the sequel, Avengers 4, comes out. His thing was he came from planet Titan, I guess, fictionally speaking or non-fictionally speaking. That's a planet, but Titan is also a moon of Saturn, and where life could exist now or maybe down the road. The pieces are there for some kind of life. Look it up. Titan, Saturn, the ocean underneath the, just look it up. But he believed his planet became overpopulated, and that brought on suffering. And there's a real life parallel to that. If you look up overpopulation, and this is not a common theme in politics or any kind of online discussions, usually it focuses around climate change and things like that, climate change and hurricanes and deadly weather. But if you look up overpopulation, it has an issue that's connected to climate change, and I don't want to, nor should I, be digging into the science of that. But just like I like to say that when the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that was erected, I don't know if the founders ever set that thing up for there to be 350 million people in this country. There was a lot less people here back then. Similarly, I don't know if this planet was made to support 7.5 billion people. And the population is only going up. It is staggering to look at population projections for 2030, 2050, 2100, 10 billion, 15 million. They've probably changed. I just threw those numbers out there, but they're probably close to being accurate. It's staggering to see those numbers. And it just makes me go, how are all these people going to eat? How are all these people going to have jobs? What kind of jobs are these people going to have to make sure? Now, look, maybe it works out to where, one, we find places for everyone and we're able to more efficiently produce good food and good jobs so that the entire, as many people as possible can thrive and survive, or survive and thrive. But I do feel like there's too many people on the planet. So that's why I've always agreed with Thanos' sentiment. And you can look around and see suffering. And again, this is a whole other discussion. There's booming populations where, and this is where China has played with eugenics and done population control. We're limiting the amount of children a family can have. India's population is booming. Africa's population, Central Africa's population is skyrocketing right now. And for as much as it is, not all those kids will make it, but still many will. The simple point, too many people on the planet. And it took me back to a tweet that I engaged with Thursday night. This tweet got 1,600, so 1,600 responses, one of which was me, and then 171,000 retweets and 462,000 likes. It was from a girl, a 20-year-old girl. I know because I think I looked her up or I saw it in the thread. At @Drew_magic_. Got it? DREW_MAGIC_. And her first tweet was, it was a story that I posted last week. Did you see the story about this soldier who lost her ear in a crash? And army surgeons, I'm basically reading this story, or the tweet word for word. After a soldier lost her left ear in a car crash, army surgeons were able to grow a new ear in her forearm and transplant it into her head. It's kind of a gruesome picture where there is an ear growing in her forearm. This girl's tweet that got all those statistics was, and y'all believe they don't have the cure to cancer and HIV/AIDS. And the thread brought up this one, I think a Dr. Selby, who it's down a Twitter and conspiratorial rabbit hole where these things actually can be cured. But if you cure cancer, pharmaceutical companies don't make as much money. HIV and AIDS. And I know that we have curbed AIDS with wonderful HIV drugs, but the basic upshot or takeaway is if we cure these awful horrors that afflict humanity, we take money out of a lot of people's pockets. And this is where you can go, all right, Kanye, shut it the fuck down. I remember when Kanye was like, slavery was a choice, and he or his wife called him. It's just free thinking. That's irresponsible free thinking, I think, because if you dig back up into the slavery stuff, so there's irresponsible free thinking, and then I guess creative free thinking. And if you want to accuse me of irresponsible, please, by all means, do so, and we can have a discussion. But this got me to thinking, when I was reading down the rabbit hole of these tweets of this doctor who might have been killed because he was shedding or sharing these herb and holistic remedies to beat cancer, and how these stories have been squeezed down. I mean, it was wild to read. And look, I'm all in for any conspiracy theory. The one, whenever we would do this topic on the air, it would get tons of calls, and I'm all in for ghosts, even though it's hard to prove that, but you can count me in times 1,000 for aliens and all that stuff. But I never want to go down this medicinal rabbit hole because it's kind of a scary place, but I did wonder. And the point here is, you've heard me say, there's too many people on the planet. And I jokingly, it's a joke because I can't do it. I say there are too many people on the planet, and if we whacked half of them, randomly, like Thanos did. Remember, as a friend of mine pointed out, if you coldly and calculatingly took off the people who couldn't keep up in a Darwinistic way, and you pick those people to die, that's genocide. But in, like, Avengers, and I don't know if Thanos did this in the movie, or whether it was from the comic book that I can recall, Infinity Gauntlet, it was random. Therefore, it's not genocide, so to speak, technically. But if you took half the people, that's always been my thought. Too many people live here, let's get rid of half of them. Flick half of them off the planet. I know you've heard me say that before. The rest of us, regardless of your skills or talents, we would probably thrive a bit more than if there were 7 billion people. Now, let's not dig into the weeds of, well, what if most of the people we lost were engineers and technologists and we couldn't advance? I get that. I do understand that. But between seeing Avengers again and reading this girl's tweet, because there isn't, outside of China's limiting of children, what if, let me make sure I get to this right. What if this, we all think that the big pharma does what they do to make money, right? These drugs are so expensive for a handful of reasons, but some of them are, it costs a lot of money to make these cancer drugs. Big Pharma has the reputation of wanting to lie in its pockets. And granted, a lot of that goes back into research, but a lot of people are making big, big, big profits as well. What if that wasn't their primary goal? And that just happens to be a lucrative secondary goal. What if the primary goal of not curing cancer and other things is population control? Eek, I know. Look, when I think about it, it makes my own skin crawl. Because we all think that these drugs are to make money. But again, what if there are not more drugs simply as a way of population? Could you imagine? Think about it. What if we could, because the cold reality of that wild, and maybe you call reckless thought, if we could cure cancer... go down the list of 10. And I don't know what the list of human killers are. I mean, take accidents out of it. Like, diseases that kill people. If we went down the list and cured 3 of them, how many more people would there be on the planet? And that means more mouths to feed. More clean water that we need. More jobs that we need to have. Just a thought. And if you want to call it reckless, please do. But again, I could use some answers. If you really want to give me a response, and if you're still here, thank you for listening to the podcast. Just search Eric Chase on iTunes podcast, the podcast app, and the Podbean app. Toledo Soup, Sunday 4 to 6, downtown branch of the library. Entree Amigos, delicious. I'm going to say it's going to be delicious from a variety of Latin American countries. At Sofia Quintero Arts and Cultural Center this coming Friday night. Tickets are $30. There's 2 seatings. You can pick 5 or 7. Get in touch with my friend Elizabeth Snyder over there, or just find me and I will help get you over there. And last thing, if you even made it here, there is a meeting, 5:30 to 7, Tuesday the 22nd at the Seagate Convention Center, about a downtown transportation plan. You are damn certain I'm going to be there. Instead of complaining about all the construction and the detours and the headaches for downtown traffic, you can go there and likely voice your opinion, or at least see what you are up against. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Feedback, candid as it may be, is always welcome. And of course, if you would like me to come to where you work, family, friends, religious organization, I spoke at my synagogue, your business, speak to your employees, ericchasespeaks.com.